Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by London's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how you doing?
I'm London's angriest Japan enthusiast because I spent half an hour doing all of the washing up that I should have done last night, and I've just come into my recording room, aka my front room, and I've just noticed two dirty cups. Oh, I'm so angry.
Oh, dear. What are you going to do about
it? What a little
it?
Filth bomb. I'm probably going to just throw them in the sink and they'll be in the next round next week when I do my washing up. I live alone, Chris. I live alone. I can't be arsed to just washing up one plate. It's depressing. But I tell you what's not depressing. It is a bit depressing. A man enduring and enjoying his 30th birthday under lockdown. Chris Broad, happy birthday. We record a week in advance, so you'll have to understand that this happened literally 7 days ago, plus two. But happy birthday, mate. You all right? You having a good one?
I think we should just come clean, Pete, and just tell people that we are actually filming on my birthday. It is April 21st here. Sometimes we do the podcast a little bit in advance. And I'm currently sitting in my chair, rolling kind of sideways. Like I've eaten way too much cheese, Pete. I thought I'd celebrate with a cheesecake.
Except
instead of it being a cheesecake, it was literally just a cake, a pile of cheese, like a mountain of various cheeses. And
any particular one that tickled your fancy more than others? Was there an underwhelming aspect to the cheese? Was there an underwhelming cheese?
There was an expensive aspect to the cheese. You know how rare bloody cheese is in Japan? Like a small, minuscule piece of cheddar's like £8, like $8 or so. So like £8. It's stupidly priced, but it is my birthday. Thought I'd splash out a bit. And it's been all right so far. That's my birthday. Sitting in a room alone, eating cheese, doing a podcast, and then tonight doing a live show, which may or may not go well. We'll see, depending
on... Tan cheesy omadetto.
See what you did there. It's clever, that.
Yeah, see what I did there,
But I don't know, really. How should I feel now that I'm 30? I don't really know what to do. I thought all adults secretly get, like, magic powers when they turn 30, but you're not allowed to tell, like, people who are younger than 30.
Now I can tell you the secrets of being 30. You start to find white hairs in your beard, which is very upsetting. You become invisible to the opposite sex. So enjoy that. No, 30s are great. I really enjoy my 30s. They were my favorite time. I met the best people. I did the best things. And
you met
I contracted
me.
Many exotic diseases. Yes, I met you, Chris. That's correct.
To be honest, lots of people have been reassuring me that turning 30 is not that bad. The white hairs you speak of, I've had those since journey across Japan, to be fair. I've done my best to conceal them with limited success. But what is that? Is that the automaton thing?
Yeah. I just keep on getting lower and lower. I can't play anything on it. That's the problem. I own many of them. They're beautiful instruments, but I can't play it.
the world's most bizarre musical instrument. That's the first time someone's sung me or played me Happy Birthday today.
It was
a good attempt. Well done. I'm happy with that. It's a good start.
Cheers, mate.
But yeah, so 30. Don't know what to do now, really.
30.
Just
dirty,
a bit anticlimactic. You know, I always pictured sitting at a reasonably priced restaurant surrounded by friends. Maybe there'd be Natsuki, yourself, you know, a few other folks. Nope, sitting in a room, eating some cheese, and that's it. It's very anticlimactic, but I'm grateful, you know, to be safe.
You
and
got your health.
Healthy. I've got my
you
health.
You got your health. But you nearly had what could only be described as some kind of cardiac arrest. I hear that you... You endured what can only be described as a big old earthquake, which actually made the news. I was like, I think that's where Chris is. Yeah, I read Japan. It over here.
There was an earthquake in Japan. I think that's where Chris is. It was horrible. I haven't felt an earthquake in quite a while now. I think the last one was like a year ago. I can't remember. But the worst thing about an earthquake isn't so much the earthquake, it's the phone alarm. And if you just like go on YouTube and type in Japanese phone earthquake alarm, you'll hear it. You know, being woken up at like 5 a.m. when you're in a deep sleep by this massive alarm on your phone that you don't even know your phone has. It goes, rip, 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 and then it goes, jishin desu, jishin desu, which means like earthquake, it's an earthquake. And I sort of woke up and I nearly had a heart attack because I was in a deep sleep and this big booming like alarm clock went off, deafened me. And then I thought, it can't be that bad. And the alarm goes off about 2 to 3 seconds before the earthquake hits. And then all of a sudden, like the building just sort of went like that. And it was like a banging noise, like go and bang a cupboard a few times. And that's what an earthquake sounds like. And it got so bad. It was quite bad. Like, it was about 6.3, I think, which is quite high. It's on the high end of the scale. And it was so bad. I got so nervous. I actually ran for the doorway because obviously you're supposed to stand in the doorway when an earthquake comes because the frame of the door supposed to protect you, even though it definitely won't. The building collapses, but it's better than just being beneath a ceiling falling down, right? And that lasted about 15 seconds. Then I sort of went back into bed shaking because I was still like ruffled and confused by being woken up to this alarm. And so not a great start to the day, really. But that was yesterday, luckily. That was yesterday.
That was your birthday, Eve. That was your 20s saying goodbye.
The last day of being in my 20s and the phone went off.
Wow.
Sucks.
It's sort of like the noise that it makes. It's like a noise that your phone never makes. It's like a unique sound and you can't turn it off and you can't turn it down. It's played at the maximum volume.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, you know, put your phone alarm on at the maximum volume and it's like that. But it's this really abrupt, high-pitched sound. And it is absolutely terrifying. Like, it does the job. Mm. You do get out of bed. You do start running somewhere. but it's really unnerving. Luckily, I mean, hopefully it won't happen again for a while. Usually they come and go, but hopefully there won't be another one for another few months now. But yeah, I mean, earthquakes are pretty terrifying. It makes me wonder. I mean, this was a 6.3. It makes me wonder what it would be to live through a 9.1 earthquake or magnitude 9 earthquake, like the one that struck in 2011. Apparently Natsuki said like he thought it was the end of the world. Like he was like, this is it, this is the end now, because he'd never experienced anything like that.
Like
even
like
Ryotaro,
it,
you know, Ryotaro, hard as nails Ryotaro, he was terrified by it. But speaking of Ryotaro, have you seen his channel yet? Have you seen his first video?
I saw his little video advertising it, so I need to actually indulge in Ryotaro's, I need to subscribe as well to his YouTube. It's on YouTube, isn't it? Is it on YouTube?
It is, yeah. Just type in like Ryotaro's Japan, and he's got one video, and it's a good start. To be fair, credit where it's due to Ryotaro. He's done an all right job editing it for his first time. And if you want to go and check it out, Ryotaro's Japan, ladies and gentlemen, go and give it a watch. It's a good start. I'm supposed to be giving him constructive criticism and feedback on how to improve it.
Right, okay.
But basically, he teaches you like 3 or 4 Japanese key sentences and phrases, but he uses English, just English, to teach it. For example, you know the word arimasu, like to have or to be? That's a good example. T-shirt arimasu, like there's a T-shirt. He tried to teach the word arimasu, but rather than teaching how to pronounce it in Japanese, in a Japanese way, he sort of said, the key to remembering arimasu is imagine Muhammad Ali with a face mask and you're telling him to put his mask on. And then he goes,
these are my kind of style of learning.
It's the Pete Donaldson teaching method, but he's like, Ali mask on, Ali mask on, Ali mask on, Ali mask on. Ridiculous. But and literally saying that just triggered Siri on my phone. I don't know how Ali mask on sounds like, hey Siri. Oh shit, I should have said it again. So, set it off.
Ryotaro's Japan, 4K views, 11 minutes long. What were you looking at figures wise? Is that good? Is that bad? He's also done a TED Talk as well, I've noticed. If you Google Ryotaro on YouTube, he's done a little TED Talk.
He did it at the same time I did. Like, I did a TED Talk in 2017 about doing YouTube in Tohoku to try and promote it online, try and encourage people to become YouTubers. And he did a talk on why it's important to travel the world if you're Japanese and get a world perspective. He's a good public speaker. And that comes out through his video. You know, one of his main things he does for a living is go to businesses and talk to them about how to, he like does a talk in front of the whole business, basically telling them how to treat foreign customers and how to handle them. So he's quite a good public speaker. Cool. Credit where it's due. He's not as good as you, though, Pete. We can't all be on IGN. Absolute Radio.
IGN.
But not anymore.
No, not anymore. Long time ago.
I think the worst thing, as I've obviously been posting around today that I'm 30, woo-hoo, and lots of you guys have been sending lovely messages, so thanks for that. But overwhelmingly, I think about 30% of the messages I've had have just been people going, wait a minute, I already thought you were 30 years old. I thought you were like 36. And I was like, doesn't make me feel better about myself.
Love it. Very enjoyable.
You get that a lot in Japan. If you're under 30 in Japan, people are always amazed. They're like, wow, you're young. Wakai ne. But
what does wakai ne mean?
Well, wakai means young, right?
Wakai. So it's a bit like wakai. So wakai ne. Interesting. Well, there you go. A little bit of speedy Japanese for you there.
Yeah, we started it early today. What's been going on in Japan, though? I suppose there's two pieces of news, and unsurprisingly, is virus-related. But good news? I suppose it's good news. Well, one of them's not. The first one, I heard there's a big Chiba Flower Festival, right? They have 800,000 tulips. Do you like tulips, Pete? Do you get excited about tulips?
They're pretty attractive flowers. They're stamens, they're leaves, petals. I mean, I've enjoyed tiptoeing through the tulips in the past. Dutch.
I reckon.
The Dutch tulips, that's it, isn't it? Dutch.
Definitely, definitely. The ones that used to be worth loads of money, right?
I'm not a botanist.
That is another quote for the Pete Donaldson soundboard.
For the soundboard,
I'm no botanist. That'd be so useful, out of context. I don't even know where this is going. What I do know is that loads of you guys listening are going to savage Pete and I, particularly North American listeners, who are going to not be happy by the way we pronounce tulips, because we sort of say tulips, don't we?
Tulips. Tulips, man.
800,000 tulips.
Get the fuck off my tulips.
Why do they sound like an Italian
American gangster? Get the fuck out! Hey, get the fuck out of my tulips, you fucking, dick.
Well, maybe if an Italian American gangster had been present at the Chiba Flower Festival in Sakura City.
Hey, I want some tulips on my pizza. I've got a bit Italian American.
Chop them all down. Oh yeah, they. Obviously, they've been telling people not to go out, just stay indoors at the moment. But because Japan can't enforce it, there's no like rules in Japan that like police can't actually just tell people to go home and stay in. It's just part of the constitution. The police can't, you can't enforce things like that in Japan. It is a weird one. I'm not really entirely sure why, but people have been going out this flower festival and spreading the disease. So the people that run the festival are like, we can't allow this to happen. So they massacred all of the 800,000 tulips. They cut them up. They ripped them down. No more tulips for you.
Oh.
Don't come. Go home. It was a pretty gangster approach. It was basically your gangster voice, Pete. That
800,000 tulips just completely decapitated.
Destroyed.
I'm hoping they used a strimmer. Imagine that, just walking through them all, knocking heads off, just making a right old mess. I think it would make more of a spectacle to see 800,000 tulips beheaded than have them on the head. I'd be like, wow, I've never seen that before. That's really confusing.
Just unleash the Yakuza with like loads of scythes just going through. Swords in hand,
knowing the Japanese. Yeah, knowing the Japanese, though, I bet it was just some woman just very carefully separating stamen from head with like a tiny little sack of tears. Just chip, 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 chip.
One singular woman, carefully and quietly and meticulously.
Respectfully.
Chopping up 800,000 tulips. Sad story, but
if anything, because they've been cut in half, they've become four lips. Thank you. So you've got one and almost just over 1.5 million tulips now. So there you go. Because they self-regenerate like worms.
Brilliant. I thought you said earlier on you weren't a botanist.
I know. Well, I mean, with the knowledge that I'm pulling out of my behind, tulips do self-regenerate and they can grow underwater.
What do you think about the massacre of the 800,000 tulips, though? Was it a good move to, stop people coming? Was it a bold, move?
It's a bit of a shame, but if people are, there needs to be some kind of social action that prevents people, just close the park. I mean, presumably it's in a park. I mean, 800. And to be honest, if you're doing 800,000 tulips, do a million. I mean, it's only 200,000 more. Yeah, like 800,000. All right, it's a big number. That's as many tulips as I would ever see in my lifetime. Go the extra mile, guys. Next year, to celebrate the lack of your celebration this year, maybe go for a million, yeah?
This could be the birth of a great new festival. The Chiba Tulip Massacre Festival of April. It's what Chiba desperately needs to boost
tourism. The trillion tulips of Chiba. Do it.
Get tourists to chop them up as well. I'd go to Chiba just to chop up some tulips and go to town on them with a katana sword. That'd be quite fun. I don't know why I didn't just shut the park. Apparently, it's easy to get in the park. I don't know. I feel like they could have done, like just put up a little wall, something. But no, just chop the flowers up. So
just have something really disgusting in the middle of it. Like what? A man doing a poo or something. I just something horrible. Just something like a grandma stands in the middle of the tulips and she just uses such bad language. I remember being in a supermarket once when I was a kid and I heard an old lady say the F word under her breath because it was the crisps she liked. And it, liked. Hello.
Liked.
And she liked. And I was very shocked as a child. I didn't realise that old grannies would say those words. So yeah, just something really unacceptable. Kumamon
on fire
himself. I don't know, just something. I got a mascot doing something terrible to another mascot. They do everything with mascots in Japan. Just do that. Just have something really unpalatable, so the people don't want to go, don't want to take their kids. It's an adult experience. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. Look, Shinzo Abe. I do not need another phone call from a world leader. All right.
I've got quite a visual imagination, and now all I can picture is Kumamon touching himself in a field of tulips, and that's not how I want to spend my 30th birthday, to be honest. But you've done
like
that,
this?
So cheers, Pete.
It is actually a Kumamon, automaton, his little beary face is looking out at me.
Oh, boy. There you go.
Boy.
That's the Tulip Festival.
That's the Tulip Festival.
Which Pete has ruined.
Man. Didn't need to cut their heads off them, did I? To ruin it. Exactly.
Dear, dear. There is some good news, though. Go on.
Okay.
No, go
I'm just saying how are people sort of financially? I mean, presumably, if people are off work, they've been, they've been either fired or just let go for a few weeks. Like, how are people sort of getting through all this?
Well, good question. Basically, the Japanese government's been handing out 100,000 yen to every resident, regardless of wealth or income. Everyone's getting some money. Originally, they came out saying, we're going to give you 300,000 yen. And then about a day later, presumably someone went, no, don't do that. Do 100,000. That's better. It's less. And they went,
make them pachinko balls. Give them 100,000 yens worth of pachinko balls.
Perfect.
Back at the economy.
Absolutely. Gamble the economy. So 100,000 yen for every foreigner. There was talk about 100,000 yen for every foreigner, 100,000 yen for everyone. There was talk, a politician said that foreign residents shouldn't get any money, which obviously pissed off a lot of people, but they are now.
especially because they pay tax as well.
Right?
If you're not paying tax, but like, all right, so we pay tax and we don't get any relief package.
the woman, I can't remember the woman's name. She's a bit annoying. Not many people like her, but she...
Sounds a bit right-wing.
She was born in America, but she's like Japanese. She's, I think she's half, maybe? Halfu, they call them. Poor people, if you have one foreign parent, one Japanese parent, but despite being born outside Japan, she seems to use foreigners as pawns in a political game of chess in a bad way.
Ooh.
But anyway, everyone ignored her, thankfully, and now foreigners living in Japan who are residents will be getting the 100,000 yen. All I know is you've got to apply online, and I haven't done it. And I don't know if I will do it.
Not their website. Oh, God. Not their website.
Yeah, well, exactly. We all know how bad Japanese websites are, right? And I imagine it's going to take like 50 forms being filled out. It'll probably take 3 weeks to just go through the website to claim the money in the first place. But still, at least they're doing something about it. At least they're injecting some money into the economy. And, I do worry about a lot of small businesses here going under just because people aren't going out or eating or drinking as much. So a little bit dicey. I don't know, is the UK doing anything like that? Are you getting any money from the government or any handout?
I think it's 80% of people who have been kept on payroll. Like you get 80% of your wage. I'm not sure what the deal is with self-employed, but my kind of pay is kind of through because I own the company effectively, so it's kind of a little bit difficult, different that
power.
Way. So,
powerful man.
The power. I was just, you were talking about people who were born elsewhere and are like mixed race people in Japan. And one of my favorite sexy footballers, a sign for my favorite sexy football team, Mike Havanar, a bloke who I think has a Dutch dad and a Japanese mum, or the other way around. And he's like this kind of, he just looks like a Dutch bloke. But obviously, he grew up as a Japanese kid, and he's signed for Venfret Corfu in J2, which is very exciting. Mike Havanar, very sexy boy. He's a very sexy boy. So there you go. There's my sports update for the week. Sexy Mike Havanar, Japanese international, I believe.
Good for him. I mean, I don't want to go into it on this podcast because it's a topic for another day and a big topic. But, I take my hat off to folks who are Halfu living in Japan, and it's not like Halfu is just what you call it in Japanese. It literally means half, the Japanese language, Halfu. But I think it must be quite tough being brought up here but not looking Japanese, like having one Japanese parent, one foreign parent, because Japan is so homogenous, and 98% of the people here are, I think, ethnically Japanese. If you look not Japanese, but you are Japanese, it causes all sorts of problems. People will be like, wow, you can speak Japanese, even though you've been born and raised here, causes a lot of problems. But that is a topic for another day, a big topic.
It is. It's a big topic. I mean, even the word like Halfu sounds very strong. I mean, you wouldn't get away with that sort of language in England. In fact, I was with a mate who is mixed race and a Polish bloke who was cutting up a sausage for me. Asked if she was half. Are you half? She went, yeah. I was like, what the fuck is... So I shouted at him and then gave the business in question a piece of my mind on Twitter. using the power of social media to abuse a sausage creator.
A sausage creator. That's,
aren't we all just sausage
just
creators?
As bad. That sounds just as bad as...
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Before we dive into a diplomatic incident, let's turn our attention to the fax machine. What do we got this week, Mr. Donaldson?
Oh, we got an email from Brandon, and it's that old chestnut again. They'll be arriving soon. Right. Brandon from Cleveland here. Yes, I send the same question each week. I am a persistent bastard, aren't I? Love all your YouTube content. Just starting to listen to the podcast too. Well, if you're reading this specific iteration of my question, it'll be 9 weeks for the podcast. P.S. on Spotify. Thanks, I guess. I know in previous podcasts you mentioned how tattoos can be an issue with onsens and the like, but what about jobs specifically? I'm trying to learn Japanese in the next 3 years so I can apply to work as an electrical engineer in Japan, but I have a large forearm tattoo. Give it to me straight, Doc. Even if I cover up my tattoos, are my dreams a bit hopeless if my employer knows I have tattoos? Thanks, and stay safe. Brandon, my dad is an electrical engineer and he is covering tattoos because he used to be in the Navy. Obviously, he's not trying to apply for an engineering job in Japan.
Why not?
He'd probably be confused at the complete lack of uniformity across Japan when it comes to power, because there's different power, isn't there, around Japan? Like, people just can't decide on what kind of power to use.
It's
nonsense. Nonsense. Also, says Brandon, since you're probably dying to know, my favourite Japanese word, possibly just a sound effect, to say whilst drunk is, what's he got here?
Jajan.
Jajan. Jajan.
Jajan.
Jajan. What's that? Jajan.
Ta-da.
Oh, jajan. Because I always think ta-da is like tadaima, which I'm back, I've returned. If I ever forget anything in a bar, I go, tadaima! Like, ta-da, I'm here!
Yeah,
Jan-jan!
It's different than that, but basically...
It's different.
I don't know what to call it. It's not. It's kind of like an onomatopoeia, but there's words like that in Japan. Like, there's a sound for when you roll. Like, say you, like, lay down the floor and start rolling along, like I'm sure you do, in your free time in your apartment, Pete.
Yeah, over the tulips.
Absolutely. There's like a phrase like goro goro goro, goro goro goro, which means like
goro,
roll, roll, roll.
Goro goro.
Goro goro goro. That's a good question.
That's adorable.
Let's get on to some onomatopoeias in a minute, because I don't think we've covered that in a while, or if ever. Tattoos, I don't think it'll get in the way of your job. Yeah, wear a shirt.
It's electrical engineer. You're going to be messing around with big wires and stuff, so don't worry about it. I mean, geez.
Exactly. When someone asks, do you have a tattoo, just wear a shirt and be like, no, never
no.
heard of tattoo. What's a
all
tattoo?
All my tattoos are about Ohm's law, which is very important in electricity. All my tattoos are like how I wire a plug.
Brilliant.
What a ground looks like.
Yeah, I think it'd be all right. I think if you're a teacher in Japan, I knew plenty of people that taught in English in Japan and had tattoos. As long as they cover them up at work, you're fine. So I don't think that'll stand in your way. I think there's more hurdles to becoming an electrical engineer in Japan than we're having a tattoo. That's a tough one. I've never heard of a foreign electrical engineer in Japan. Not that it can't be done. If any of you listening are electrical engineers in Japan, let us know how you did it. But best of luck to you there, Brandon. And thank you for encouraging us to do some onomatopoeias. I thought we'd do some simple ones, some animals. Because it's fun and it could be useful one day. And to be fair, a lot of them are quite commonly used and commonly heard. So without further ado, do you know what cat is, Pete? Obviously, we say meow.
Cat. Obviously, cats over here say meow. But I do know because of the Nyan cat. Is it Nyan cat?
Nyan.
You know, that it's like a Pop-Tart kind of cat with rainbows coming out of its arse. That meme from back in the day. So is it Nyan or Nyan? Nyan cat? Nyan.
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 Nyan cat. Nyan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
What's interesting, some of them sound quite similar. Some of them are just completely different and don't make much sense. Cow. What about cow? Cow's quite similar. Obviously, moo in English. Moo. In Japanese?
I don't know moo. You'll probably have to sort of go from here because I am not... cat's the only one I know.
Cow is mormor. Mormor.
Mormor.
Mormor.
Mormor.
No,
I don't see that one. I think ours is better. Mormor. They don't go moo moo. How do you like it?
Moo moo. Dog. Woof in English.
I'll tell you what, this is how we'll do it.
I'll say the animal. Right. You say the English noise. I'll give you the Japanese one. Dog.
Cool. Woof.
In Japanese, it's 1-1. 1-1.
Oh, that's nice. Cool.
Momo.
Well, I need to know the animal before I can do the noise. I'm waiting to do the noise.
All right. Here we go. Horse. Brilliant. In Japanese, hihin. Hihin.
Hihin. Yeah, I could see that. Oh,
that's quite the noise. What about chicken?
Just cluck, 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 cluck,
cluck, cluck, cluck, cluck. This is quite a complicated one. It's not even I could do it. Cocky coco.
That's like Arrested Development where everyone takes the piss out of Michael that he's a chicken. Cocky cocky coco. Cocky coco.
I nearly made Natsuki choke to death on laughter because he was teaching me these animal noises once a couple of years back in a video and he said it's cocky co and I went cocky coco co, thinking like cock-a-doodle-doo and he'd never heard that before. And he nearly exploded. He like laughed for about 3 minutes, harder than I've ever seen, just by cocky cocky co. So if you ever want to make Natsuki laugh, you don't want to put the effort in, just impersonate a Japanese chicken. What about duck?
Quack.
Good. Well, you're good at these, Pete. Well done.
I mean, geez.
It's gaga. Gaga.
Gaga.
Gaga.
Gaga. Gaga. Gaga. Yeah, I mean, it takes a bit of a leap of faith, a flight of fancy, if you will, but I'll take it.
It does. I mean, you can remember that, Lady Gaga, nice and easy.
Yeah.
What about fox? Fox.
Oh. Well, I only ever hear them having sex.
Brilliant.
So they make like I'm a garbage dog, cat. Yeah, they just sort of make that noise.
Are you sure that's not just your neighbour? Just your neighbour next door? No.
Yeah, they make horrible noises.
I mean, there's that song, wasn't there? What does the fox say? Because nobody knew what it meant, or nobody knew what it sounded like. And yet, in Japan, they do have a word, and it's konkon. Konkon.
Konkon.
Konkon. Think of Hong Kong, but it's konkon. Konkon. That's what a fox sounds like in Japan.
Yeah, I guess so. I forgot the word for foxes in Japanese. What's the word for fox again?
Kitsune. Kitsune.
Kitsune. That's
kitsune.
Right.
Kitsune. What about mouse? Last one, mouse.
Just a little squeak in it. Squeak, 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 squeak. Can I have some cheese, please? No, Chris is eating it. It's his birthday.
Hey. I did eat it all. Yeah, this is a weird one. Choo-choo. Choo-choo.
Choo-choo.
Like train. It's like...
Choo-choo what? Rocket, the video game on the Dreamcast.
Maybe that's where I got the name from.
Maybe
it didn't,
is.
Did it?
Probably not.
Did it?
I don't know. I don't know. I've never played Choo-choo Rocket.
I just and I never played the Dreamcast. The poor old Dreamcast. Underrated console. And there you go.
Absolutely.
Now you know
classic.
How to deal with the animals. From the top, let's do this time you just say the Japanese, all right? Ready? Cat.
Nyan.
Cow.
Momo.
Dog.
Wan wan.
Horse.
Hin.
That's the best one. Chicken.
Cocky cocko.
Duck.
Gaga.
Fox.
Con con.
It literally just sounded like you said condom. Mouse.
Chew. Chew, motherfuckers. I know you're only isolating those so you can put them on the fucking on the old soundboard. On
yeah, I was about to say this is what the soundboard is what the soundboard was made for. Absolute highlight of my 30th birthday, hearing you make those noises. Right, let's carry on. And that's the first one in the fax machine. Got one from Rachel who says, "Hi, Chris and Pete. Hope you two are doing well. I've been catching up on the podcast while in quarantine mode, and in a word, it's making me feel natsukashi. Do you remember what that means, Pete? Natsukashi."
It means retro or old school.
It means nostalgic, but close. Well done. I thought I'd write in and share a little anecdote for my spring trip last year. Since I'd already hiked Fushimi Inari during the day on my first solo trip to Japan, for those of you who don't know, Fushimi Inari is the chain of Torii-gate shrines going up the mountain in Kyoto, one of the most famous places in Japan. I convinced my friend to go up on a spooky nighttime hike. Since the shrine is open 24/7. You did that, didn't you, Pete?
Yeah, I did that with Charlotte and Ian. I got very lost. And yeah, I don't really know where I went. There was a pile of Torii gates that they just sort of piled up against a wall. And I was just really confused. They'd blocked part of it off. Right. And I just went missing for ages. A lot of Charlotte's video is just her going, "We don't know where Pete's gone. I think he's dead."
Sounds like Sapporo all over again.
Aye.
Continuing Rachel's story, she says, "We got to the temple around 11 p.m. and pretty much had the place to ourselves, aside from a few others taking photos of the main shrine. When we approached the first gate leading up to the mountain, two screaming Japanese teenage boys ran down the path out of the Torii gates. They laughed when they got to the last gate and ended up turning around and heading back up the path. We were startled, but didn't make much of it since I'd heard that it's a popular dare for college students to hike the mountain after sunset. We snapped one last eerie-looking photo at the base of the Torii gates, and just as we were about to cross the threshold to the path, a deep, blood-curdling grunt emanated from the bushes nearest to us. We jumped backwards in surprise, and we peered into the shadowy tunnel of Torii gates from a safe distance away while we discussed what to do. We knew that there were wild boars up on the mountain, but our online perusing led us to believe that encounters are highly uncommon. While we were talking, a security guard walked up the path and shined a light into the bushes where we'd heard the wild boar. I attempted to ask him through hand motions and a few Japanese words what we should do if we see a wild boar, walk by it quietly or make a noise to scare it off. He immediately gasped and explained, "Don't touch boar!" We laughed, assured him that we wouldn't touch boar, and called it a night. If the spirits of the mountain were giving us a sign, we decided this was it, and we heeded their warning. Thanks for the podcast. It keeps me entertained at work. Stay well away from the coronavirus, as well as the wild boars, Rachel. And what noise does a wild boar make, Pete?
Oh, I don't know. Wild boars! Never use it! Wild boars! Wild boars! Never use it! I don't know. Oink? Exactly. I reckon oink in it.
I can't remember. Yeah, it's something like I can't remember. I'll look it up in a minute. But you didn't run into any wild boars, did you, when you were climbing up the old?
I didn't. No. I imagine with the lack of tourism at the moment, I imagine they're having a right old bloody time. The old wild boars.
It's pretty scary up there. Like if you go at night, fair play to you. Like that mountain just goes on and on. Like when you creeped out. When you went up the mountain into the dark.
Yeah, well, as I said, I think part of it was blocked up, so we kind of had to stop at a certain point. So I was just taking pictures of the moon. The moon was very beautiful that night.
Oh, no wild boars. Probably a good thing.
No wild boars.
A good friend of mine, Ellen, went up there once, and she said she saw a really ominous sign saying, be careful of strangers. And she saw, like, a really creepy, odd-looking person in the distance behind a tree. And that kind of put me off going up there. So be careful how far up you go up the Fushimi and Army shrines. They go really high up the mountain. Like, they just go endlessly along the mountain. Mm. So, keep an eye out for wild boars and shady individuals. What we got next, Pete?
Interesting. We've got an email from Vanessa from Melbourne, Australia. Hello, Chris and Pete. Thanks for your podcast. I really enjoy listening to it, which I do while walking the dog. Woof, woof. I'm also a huge fan of the YouTube channel and watch those videos while doing my Japanese studies. I've been to Japan 3 times. I was meant to be there in March of this year, but due to stuff, this has been postponed, but hoping to get back there in the next 12 months. But as you've touched on Japanese drinking culture a couple of times, I wanted to share my own experience with you. Me and my then partner did a month-long trip to Japan in 2015, and this happened when we were in Hiroshima. We went for dinner at the the three-story Okonomiyaki theme park. Chris, I will leave you to describe this to your listeners. It sounds just like a big building that full of Okonomiyaki places.
Well, we described it last week, didn't we?
It's a building
with about 3 or 4 stories, and there's just loads of Okonomiyaki restaurants in there. Okonomiyaki savory pancakes, the most amazing thing. Like, they're just noodles and cabbage with like some kind of flour and batter on, and then they have like mayonnaise.
Wonderful.
And it's all a big mess, but it tastes amazing. Thanks to the mayonnaise.
Wonderful. Well, the place was very big, and we were wandering around trying to decide which shop to eat at when we looked at a shop that had about 5 salarymen eating and drinking. One of them looked at us and in a deep, booming Japanese voice commanded, "You eat here!" and pointed at 2 empty seats. This command was good enough for us, and we took our seats. We then proceeded to eat Okonomiyaki and get absolutely smashed with these salarymen who had a couple of hours drinking on us at this point. It was great fun chatting and joking with all of them. They were salesmen for a farming equipment company. One of them taught me how to fold a paper crane. There was also one who kept on yelling, "Kumamoto, my hometown!" Once we had told him we were heading there after our sojourn in Hiroshima. One of them ended up eating half of my Okonomiyaki, which is fine because it was quite big, and one of them ending up passing out on the table next to us. Eventually, they decided it was time to leave, and the boss of all these salarymen very kindly paid our bill. We tried to protest, but it was of no use. While they were getting ready to depart, my partner and I both went to our respective restrooms, and when we came back out, they were gone. Well, mostly, as they had left the passed out guy behind, and for 1 minute, me and my partner were trying to decide what to do with this passed out salaryman. The rest of the group rounded the corner, shouted "Sumimasen," and grabbed a shoulder each, and proceeded to drag the guy out. It was probably one of the funniest nights I had in Japan. Again, thanks for the casts and the videos. Keep safe and as unbored as possible. Please see attached photo evidence. And presumably she's appended a picture of said salaryman. Vanessa, that sounds like a hell of a night.
That is awesome. And yeah, the photos, just Vanessa and her husband surrounded by like various drunken looking Japanese guys.
Yes,
brilliant.
Lovely.
What more could you want?
Enjoyable.
The only bit I wouldn't be happy about is someone eating my Okonomiyaki. But other than that, sounds great. And fair play that Vanessa spent 2 hours there. Okonomiyaki-mura is the kind of place you drop in, eat your food quickly, and then head out in like under an hour, like 40 minutes or something. So to be there 2 hours with these drunken guys sounds pretty fun. I mean, some of my fondest memories in Japan are just meeting drunken Japanese salarymen, strangers, and just going off with them and doing karaoke and getting to know them before you never ever see them again. Have you ever done anything like that? Is that anything you've done?
I think we kidnapped a salary, more of a salary boy, for a night out in Osaka. And then I've had various adventures where there's been like, they're just guys who just sort of recommend places, and you're like, "Oh, we're going over here." I remember sort of being in a place, like a baseball themed bar, and the owner of the bar took us and a lot of salarymen to his own little kind of mini restaurant, really. And we all sort of ate food, and yeah, it was good. Yeah, there's plenty of adventures like that. People who are always willing to sort of reach out once they've had a couple of drinks to have a chat and impart their enthusiasm and wisdom.
Yeah, definitely. You hear people coming to Japan on like holiday and they never get to meet anyone or talk to many folks along the way. But if you go to a bar at the end of the day and have a few drinks, there's no doubt you'll meet a few characters who will come to define your entire trip, like these folks in Okonomiyaki Mura. But thanks for the story, Vanessa. It's a good laugh. We've got one here from Fantastic. George in Okawa. He says, hey, Chris and Pete, this is my first year as an assistant language teacher in Japan's smallest village, Okawamura in Kochi Prefecture. Kochi, of course, is in Shikoku. It's one of the few places I've never been anywhere near. Yeah, I've not been there. Always wanted to go. George says, it's really great here. I teach 26 students from first grade elementary to third grade junior high, and they're all brilliant. The village is famous for really good beef and for just being super countryside. Every year, we have a barbecue festival on top of the mountain with unlimited sake, incredible beef, and really good chicken. It's random. And my students perform the village's traditional sword dance with real blunt swords. It used to be a regular-sized village until they built a dam downriver and flooded the valley in the 1960s. And all that's left now, all that's left is the parts of the village higher up the mountainsides. The rest of the village is still underwater. That sounds mental, isn't that? It sounds like a horror film.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I think they did that. I think they did that in Wales, I want to say. There's a little fairly modern town that was flooded at some point in the deep and distant past.
It's pretty cool. I mean, George continues, when the water level is lowered, you can see the old government office building come out of the water, like emerge.
Oh,
how awesome is that?
Spooky.
That is
spooky. Terrifying.
Amazing. Have you ever been to Kochi Prefecture? It's pretty rad. It's famous for drinking, and our mascot is a severed tuna head. Of course it is. If you're ever heading down this way, please let us know. It'd be an honour to buy you a beer and a plate of Kochi's katsu or tataki. At Hirome, I think that's a kind of fish thing. And the huge indoor drinking market in Kochi City is a must try. My question to you is, what would you recommend for making the most of an opportunity, the opportunity to live in Japan and the kinds of activities you couldn't do if you were just here for a holiday? And tips for getting the most out of solo travels. Thanks so much, George in Okawa. And he says at the bottom, we claim to be the smallest village on the four main islands of Japan with a population of about 380 people, over a 36 square mile area. That is very small.
Wow.
I'm sure there's a few villages in Japan that claim to be the smallest, especially given the population is plummeting rather dramatically. But I'd love to go to Kochi. I want to see this town. I want to Google this straight afterwards.
I want to see this government office rise out of the water like a sword.
I think we should go. Get some blunt swords, get some local chicken, and go and discover the flooded government office in the lake. That sounds amazing.
Up for it.
Tips for getting the most out of solo travels, Pete. Any ideas? You've done that
goodness
before.
Goodness me.
You did it recently.
Make sure you travel light, in the words of the Tindersticks. We travel light. Just travel light, because you're just forever pulling a case around. So make it easy on yourself, and make sure you arrive in towns at around about 3 o'clock, so you can check into your hotel. Otherwise, you're just standing around doing nout.
What would you say to people like me who get a little bit kind of on edge, a little bit anxious when it comes to, like, you see like a restaurant and you can't see in through the windows and you don't know whether or not to go in? What do you do? How do you get around the fear of opening the door and
Dutch
going
courage,
in?
Dutch courage, or just to give yourself a strongly worded brain email saying, come on, Peter, stop being a dick. It's just food. I mean, the real trouble is actually when you get in there and you don't know what you're ordering because everything's in kanji and you end up ordering shabu shabu because it's the only thing you can spot on the menu. And I mean, that's when it starts to get difficult. So don't worry about actually walking in. The danger is actually when you actually sit down and look at the menu. So don't worry about it. Everyone eats. People like to see you in the restaurant. Support the local economy. Don't just go to Mossberg or whatever the hell they've got around. Just get yourself in a little hole in the wall place and get it in.
Don't know. I think I'm still tempted to go to Mossberg, to be honest. You know what? I haven't been to Mossberg in bloody years. I don't know why.
I think I've never been to one.
You've never been to a Mossberg?
No, it just looks like one of those places. I just go. Just got the ramen place rather than I know what a burger tastes like.
But do you know what a Moss burger tastes like?
I imagine, does it have moss on it? I don't know, MOS in it? MOS
There's
burger.
No moss in it. There's no moss. It's fairly underwhelming. There's a reason I don't go there that often. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. And as for tips for getting the most out of living in Japan, I would say, crikey, that's a tough one. Just go. I mean, look, if you come here for a holiday, you don't have long to do stuff. If you come here to live, you can really immerse yourself in the culture. I enjoyed learning the language and learning all the animal noises that we revealed earlier on in this podcast. That was easily the highlight of being in Japan for 7.5 years, learning how to say hihin, like a horse. But like learn the language while you can. You know, I think I've met people that come here for a year or two, leave without knowing anything, and I think that's a real shame. You know, you've got enough time to learn the language, so do that while you're here. Learn a bit, go out and use it. And for me, all my fondest memories are just sitting around with the locals in the first town I used to live in Yamagata, and just chatting with them, like having that moment where, like, holy crap, I'm using a different language. Like, this is amazing. So take advantage of that and just try and get immersed in your local community. Given it's such a small town, you can become quite a big part of that town. You can become like Scarface of Kochi. You can run that shit, like, run the entire prefecture.
Run the entire show. What is Japanese for poop?
I'm not teaching that on the podcast. I'll tell you afterwards.
Grow up, everyone poops.
I'll teach you afterwards if you're a good lad.
All right.
But we're going to go to that government office under the lake. That's something that's going to happen. Mark my words.
Yeah, I want to do that. We've got a final email from Atlee, which is a great name, like Clement Atlee, the politician. Aloha, Chris and Pete. Most everyone has seen or heard about all of the things that make Japan stereotypically Japanese, many of which Chris has covered in various videos over the years. However, I'm curious where or what have either of you experienced during your time in Japan that is the least like stereotypical Japan? Make of that question what you will. Thank you for your contribution to the fine art of YouTubing. Atlee, thank you for your email, Atlee.
That did remark there. That's a good question. I've been pondering this for a while now, and I don't have a simple answer. I could say something like Disneyland, but to be honest, even Tokyo Disney feels an awful lot like Japan. Like, there's lots of different Japanese things there going on. I don't know. I did find a British theme park simply called British Hills, which I would love to go to. It looks a bit like someone's impression of a British town, and then they've gone and built it in a forest in Fukushima. And I really want to go, and I keep emailing them, but they don't reply. And so if anybody here lives or works at British Hills, please reach out to me. Get me the access I deserve. And we can make a video on British Hills.
Around.
What
just
Japan
go
thinks
around. I mean,
the UK's like.
Just break in. And start filming. You know, don't need a permission. Pay the entrance fee like everyone else.
The Pete Donaldson rule book. Can you think of anywhere that's like not like stereotypical Japan? Anywhere spring to
God,
mind?
I don't really know, to be honest, because even like the Irish pubs do things slightly different. They certainly they certainly take a long time pouring Guinness and all that because they want to get it right. And they do pour a lovely pint of Guinness.
They do. They are pretty good. It's difficult. I mean, you can certainly walk amongst neighbourhoods in cities like Tokyo that are incredibly modern, and you might not necessarily feel like you're in Japan. Like Shinjuku skyscraper district, you could probably think you're in America or in North America, like a standard North American city, just surrounded by skyscrapers.
Like
but even then, the architecture's kind of different, isn't it? It's kind of odd. So I don't know. It's a tough one. I'm going to stick with British Hills on that. But I'm going to think about that one. British Hills. I'm going to think about that one. And certainly the next time you're over, Pete, let's go to the smallest village in Japan and let's go to British Hills.
I want to go to British Hills. I want to see what's going on up there.
Exactly. Uniquely British things. That is all for now, though, guys. Oh, by the way, I did find out the noise a pig makes, it's boo-boo. Boo-boo.
Boo-boo. Boo-boo. What, oink-oink goes to boo-boo? I'm not having that one. That's nonsense. Boo-boo. That boo-boo. Is a nonsense.
Well, yeah, to be honest, that does make sense. Maybe that's why I didn't remember it, because it's so damn bloody weird. But keep the stories, comments, questions coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back same time next week to do it all over again, guys. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great week and stay safe at this difficult and bizarre time. As for me, it's time to get some more cheese. Bye for now.
Cheese it up, birthday boy.
Hey.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.